జయం విష్ణుపాద బ్రహ్మహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నెత్తినీల ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనందే. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమో విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధి కర్మగ్రాహ గ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫల సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞ స్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది గవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్యత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతివి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పివద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుగాః. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమ. యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ. పుత్రే నిదన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదూతం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాల్పదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారీణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుమువయామి. గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేత్. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదానందోః. మమ ఉవాచి విజంబదాం మురారే మధురీం నక్కనిగావి కావిగావి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజశ్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత శంఖచక్రం కౌమోదగీసరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം ജൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ In the 24th chapter of the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna said, Sankhya Yogam. Basically, the intention was, Krishna wanted to mention to Uddhava that Ulpatti Nasham, that means appearance and disappearance, is not for the soul. It is actually for the jiva that experiences that. Atma doesn't have to go through any of these changes, what is spoken. In order to clarify to Uddhava, that he explained Sankhya Shastram for that. From Paramatma, Sachidananda Brahman, Prakriti and Purusha, everything comes from that. And it goes back into the Sachidananda Brahman again. And with that understanding, this duality or dvandvam, feeling that two exist, the feeling of duality goes away from inside. And in order to experience the pure nature of the soul or the bliss of the soul, this method of Sankhya Shastram is very well accepted. So, Kapila Maharshi has propounded this Shastram first time, and for his Sankhya Sutram, many great Mahatmas have given commentaries on that. And once you have absorbed in the Sankhya philosophy, one will understand that nothing exists here except the soul. Only Atma exists. Right. So, therefore, one who wants to have a control over the mind, as well as he wants to experience the bliss of the soul, I will explain for that person, for this understanding, the Sankhya Shastram Krishna says to Uddhava. Right. And that is how he began Sankhyam. So, while saying this, he said there that the Paramatma, Atma, is not for Vyavaharam. It is not for Vyavaharam. Right? But in order to explain Atma, sometimes you require the help of time, Kalam. But Paramatma is even beyond the time and before beyond devastations. So, as he mentioned before, that what is not possible to be spoken through words, to be explained, to be understood by the mind, and cannot be understood by the intelligence, that is only not understood by the great souls. They will understand what is being spoken, right? Or personalities like Uddhava can understand when it is spoken. So, beginning of the creation, Kalam begin, the calculations of time begins, and then it is begins with Kritayugam, Satyugam, right? And before Kritayugam began also, all these things existed, all the jivas existed, but they were existing in their subtle form, in the Sushma Rupam, right? And because there was no Nama Rupam at that time, when jiva has no Namam, no Rupam, prior to that, that was to what existed at that time. the existence of the jiva in that state is jnanam, is knowledge. And Krishna spoke about that it is not easy, he said, that to develop this knowledge of the self, Sarupa Jnanam, and that knowledge itself is called Brahmam. Brahmam is that knowledge. Vadandita Tattvavidam Tattvam Jnanam Advayam Brahmeri Paramatmeri. Jnanam is Brahmam. Jnanam is Paramatma. Jnanam is Bhagavan. So, Brahmajnanis, those who have realized Brahman, and for them also, prior to Krita Yugam began, what exists is only Brahman, and that is the Adhishtanam, or foundation of everything. And that Brahman, in due course of time, has become two, Drishyam and Drashtava. That is how the beginning, Drishyam and Drashtava. Drishyam is Jadam, and that gives life to the Drishyam, it is Chitta. So, Chitta and Jadam, in this way, Chetajanmayam, it mentioned in the verses, right? So, Chitta, Jadam, in this way, that knowledge has become, for Vyavaharam purposes. And then he talked about Karyam Karanam. So, Prakriti's nature is like that. There is Karanam, and from that Karyam comes. Karyam becomes Karanam, and another Karyam comes from that. So, because Sachidananda Brahman, when it is in touch with Maya, it is called Purusha. Then, in the presence of Purusha, Stri has a movement that happens in her mind. In the same way, the presence of Purusha, Maya's mind got agitated. Maya got agitated. In the sense that, just like we say in human life, that in a man's presence, the woman has become pregnant. In the same way, material nature, Prakriti, she became pregnant. And from that pregnancy came these three children, Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam. In order to make it easier for us to understand, it is spoken that way. That male-female concept, what we have in the mundane world, based on human body, is one thing. But even on the highest level, when this male-female concept came, the female is Prakriti, male is Purusha. In Purusha's presence, Prakriti becomes pregnant. And Prakriti's pregnancy has delivered these three children, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. It is spoken in this way, the male and female form, to make us understand that it is very much similar to our human society as well, in the same way, right? So, Prakriti is not different from Purusha in the sense, it is Purusha's energy that Prakriti is, right? So, and Purusha is responsible for the Prakriti to expand or Prakriti to contract, to contract. Expansion or contraction of the Prakriti happens in the presence of Purusha. If you understand, this is the basic foundation of Sangha Shastra. Prakriti and Purusha comes, and Prakriti is under the control of Purusha. Prakriti expands or contracts with the influence of Purusha. And then he said that in that process, suppose that in a house where there is no children, but when this one, children, if a girl gets married, has a husband, and then in course of time they will have children, and then the grandchildren could come from that. In this way, that family expands and expands further, and after some time it becomes branches and further branches. It goes in that way. Similarly, from Prakriti, from these three modes of nature, in the same way, it expanded. And that is how this creation has come. These three modes of nature has expanded and expanded, and further and further, and dependent on that, this creation has come out. Just to compare with our family life in this world, to make it easy to understand, right? So when the modes of nature are acting together, new tattvam has come, and these children of them has got the capacity to work and to act in this way, right? So this power to act, to do things, it is called sutram, kriya shakti. That's what is called sutram, right? So sometimes when they come out like this, that power which is giving the energy to them to expand and expand further, that power is called kriya shakti. Another name for that is sutram. And the knowledge what is required for this expansion, and that is what is called mahatattvam. So these two powers, jnana shakti and kriya shakti, sutram and mahatattvam, both of them, they are together, and they are always together, and not that they have separated and gone away from the family. They remain together always, right? So when they say that sutram has come first, means that a tattvam has come in the form of jnanam shakti and kriya shakti. Because without knowledge, no action can happen, isn't it? Without any action, has to have some knowledge behind it. Jnanam controls karmam. So therefore, there is knowledge in the action, and there is action in the knowledge. That is how they are connected to each other. Jnanam and kriya, they are connected to each other, right? So therefore, sometimes it is said kriya shakti, jnana shakti, to make it easier to understand, right? And including both of them, sometimes it's spoken as mahatattvam. So when they come together, then they come together, and when they separate, that causes the different vigaram, changes in the creation. So that is how then aham tattvam comes from them. This jnana shakti and kriya shakti, when they come together and they interact each other, at that time from them aham tattvam has come, and it is also called ahankaram. And it is this aham tattvam or ahankaram is the one which is called the brahmam in a jiva. Jiva has got brahmam always, is it not? We are all in that state. There is a brahmam inside us. Brahma means confusion. What to do? We also don't know who we are, and we also don't know what we have to do here. This brahmam, this confused state of existence, that's what we are now. A confused state of existence. Right? Brahmam, jiva brahmam. The ahankaram is responsible for this jiva brahmam. And this ahankaram has come when the jnana shakti and kriya shakti together when they acted, from that the end result is this ahankaram. All this is spoken in a way to make us understand Sankhyam, little bit easier way, right? And because this Trigunam is in three ways, obviously, Trigunam is in three ways, Ahankaram is also in the three ways, because of that, right? The other interesting thing is, this Trigunam, they will never get separated and go away on its own. They will always be holding on to each other. And only thing is, whichever gunam is dominating, therefore that gunam is given. Gunam is one, but it has got these three aspects, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, and they will always be together. But when one of the gunam is stronger, we call it a sattvam. If the sattva nature, sattvic nature is very, very dominant, then it is called sattvagunam. They are not independent totally. And so it is this ahankaram that is breaking up into these three, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, right? And similarly, there is another problem. What should we call this ahankaram? Is it chitta or is it jadam? This problem. It is neither chitta nor its jadam, but it is the link between the two. So what is its nature then? So, and there, because it is chitta and achitta, it is neither chitta nor achitta, because it's both in them, chitta and achitta. So, it is difficult to explain what ahankaram is. But as much as possible in Vedantam, they will use certain words like chidachinmayam, jadajadalmagam, chidjadam. These are all the words used in Vedantam to explain this together of jadam and chitta, ahankaram, in other words. And this ahankaram is responsible for all the elements, the tanmatras, shabdasparsharubarasagantham, senses, mind, everything else has come from this ahankaram. So if you, this is the Upanishad way. If you remember this, it is very helpful all the time, how this has all happened from Sachidananda Brahman, how it has come to the creation in this long process, lasting for millions of years, it has come like this, right? Then he said that it is quite normal that you see in children the nature of the parents, is it not? You can observe that. In children, you will find the parents' nature to some extent in them, right? Similarly, in ahankaram also, that has come from sattvagunam, that ahankaram, there also sattvagunam will be there. When sattva ahankaram comes, in that ahankaram, sattva ahankaram, sattvagunam will be present. Similarly, when tamogunam is very strong, it is called tamasa ahankaram, right? And from that came the five tanmatras, sparsham rupam, shabdasparsha rupa gandham, sound, touch, smell, taste and form, right? And then again they all work together and they created this five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, right? So this is one parambara goes on like that. Similarly, from Rajasa Hangaram, it is its byproducts are the five senses of action and five senses of knowledge, and then the mind, a subtle body. All of them combined together, 11 of them. That is another branch, right? Similarly, these 11 senses. So 10 senses plus mind, all of them, there is the Adhishtatra Devata for all of them. Adhishtatra Devata, predominating deities, right? And that is the directions, the air, the sun, Prajedasa, Ashvis, Vanni, Indra, Upendra, Mitra, Prajapati, like that, 10 of them, and 11th one for the moon for the mind. In this way, these 11 devadas, they came from Satya Ahankaram. They came from Satya Ahankaram, right? And that is the third branch which has come about, right? So, even though there are three branches like this, instead of compete, they didn't compete each other and break away, but as long as they are together and cooperating, this great family called this universe will stay when these are cooperating each other. When all these three different branches, right, what we have spoken, if all of them cooperate together, then this creation will survive. And so their parents are one ultimately, Purusha and Prakriti. It began from that, is it not? It's like a family only. Families have got children, grandchildren, like that it expands in the same way. But because these are not personalities like the way we are used to explaining that on a bodily level. But if you look at it from the creation process, it's also like the family life, the way how it has come about. And finally, they are saying that because the origin, parents, they were the same, and because of them, this family is surviving. Family called this creation is staying without breaking up. Then, then he mentioned there that the Mahatattvam, due to the presence of Chaitanyam in that, it created this Andam, which is Hiranyagarbha. In other words, Krishna enters into that, Narayana enters into that. At that moment, in Krishna's Nabhi, or Mahavishnu, Narayana's Nabhi, the one that is the source from whom creation comes later, that lotus flower has come, Brahma came in that. So, subtle things, when they come together, many subtle things, it eventually becomes gross. So it was given the name Andam, Brahmandam. And in that Brahmandam, the Chaitanyam that is present in that Brahmandam is Narayana. So Brahmandam is Narayana's gross form, Stula Rupam. And then this lotus flower comes, and from that Brahma comes. All living entities are present in the Brahma, all living entities. And when Rajogunam comes into Lord Brahma and gives encourages Brahma, Brahma is capable of becoming creator. He becomes a creator. So from Brahma comes creation, begins that way. And the creation is divided into these three: Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam. And all living entities are covered within that. Surgalogam was for the Devadas, and Bhuvarlogam was for the ghosts and the spirits, and Bhulogam was given for the human species. And above than that, great rishis like Bhrigu, Vasishtha and all of them, who are perfected in spiritual path, they were given the position Maharlogam, above this. Right? Then the planets below us were given to Asuras and the Sarpam. Everything is based on the presence of the Gunam, Sattugunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam. So these, depending on these three Gunam, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, the Jivas, different living entities, will do different type of karma. And accordingly they will get results also, happiness, distress, or a mixture of both. And all these facilities are given in these planetary systems, provided, right? And according to the type of karma they have done, they will get their location, wherever they have to stay, right? And so you can imagine from that, understand from that, that the based on our qualifications, based on the karma what we do, and based on the results of that, accordingly we are given the happiness and distress. And to experience that happiness and distress, a particular location is given to that jiva, where it should go, right? So this is what has caused the necessity for the purpose of creating several planets. All the higher planets, lower planets, all this has come because of this karma. Karma is responsible for that. When jiva engages in karma, results come. And the results could be pious or sinful. And in order to experience these pious or sinful results, they have to go to several places, different places. And accordingly, those places were created in that way. Those who are inclined for yoga practices, jnanam, karma, bhakti, all that, and austerities and penances, tapasya, sannyasam, and what is capable of purifying their subtle body. And for such people, yogis, tapasvis, sannyasis, they will obviously go to the higher planets. And maharlokam, for them, they are graded there. Maharlokam, janalokam, tapalokam, satyalokam, in that way. They also, according to their qualifications, they will go to the higher planets. And then Krishna says that a devotee, Maharjana Tapasasya Bhakti Yoga Se Madgadhi, comes to me, he said, a devotee who has reaches that Sayujyam, Mukti, and the same thing is spoken as Vaikuntham in the Puranams. Then he said that unless you come out of this planetary systems here and becomes free from that, experiencing the knowledge of the self is not possible. That means all these locations what we have talked about is influenced by time. That means under influence of time they all get destroyed. And when this desire comes to become free from this attraction for sense enjoyment, and the world will go away from inside, and that is called vairagyam. So vairagyam is necessary to become free from the grip of maya. Everyone who is born here is subject to karma, and depending upon the type of gunam in him, sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, his karma will be different, right? And different karma will bring different results. And because karma dictates or karma decides that he has to experience the results of the karma, accordingly the body is decided, what body he should have in the next life, right? So this pious activities, one who performs pious activities, that means he has to experience a lot of happiness. Therefore, he can go up towards the higher planets, right up to Satyalokam, Brahmalokam. And the other hand, others who have done very highly sinful things, for them, in order to suffer from that, experience that distress, they will have to go into the lower bodies, like the birds, the animals, plants and everything. So with these three modes of nature, prompted by that, when we engage in karma, whatever position we get is not permanent. Under the three modes of nature, we are under the three modes of nature. We are acting in the world under the three modes of nature. And all the results that's coming from that, happiness or distress, nothing is permanent. But still, this much we can say, that the going up is better than going down. But nothing is permanent here. Even if you go up, it's not permanent. Going down also is not permanent. And we can only say one thing, that those who are going up have done pious activities and those who are going down has done sinful things. That much you can conclude from that, right? So in this way, all jivas is going up and down all the time, right? And those who have reached Lord Brahma, they, in course of time, when Lord Brahma leaves, they will also get liberated. And this is the Krama Mukti, what was spoken in the second canto. Shukha Brahmarshi mentioned this, Krama Mukti process, right? Then he said that this Atma is one, right? If one comes to realize this Atma, what Atma is, right? He will realize that this variegatedness, what you see in the creation, is all come from that one thing called Chaitanyam, right? If that realization comes to him, then he won't hate anybody or he won't love anything because there's only one thing existing, right? And that is the Bhakti Swarupam. To realize that there is only Atma present everywhere, there is no two things existing. Once that comes, Ragadvesham will go from inside. So, in order to have this Bhakti, one has to know the process of creation. And that is why it is spoken here, Karyam Karanam, on that basis, right? So, everything what you see in this creation, from the small living entity to the big mountains even, is come from Prakriti and Purusha together. Prakriti Purusha Samyogam, it has come. So, Sachidananda Brahman, its first Vijrumbhanam, that's the word they used, Vijrumbhanam. Vijrumbhanam means the manifestation of that, is in the form of Prakriti and Purusha. So, whatever we see here is the end result of this Prakriti and Purusha's interactions. Then he mentioned there that what we spoke yesterday, gold can turn into so many things, but ultimately it's gold. The clay can turn into different types of pots and other things, lamps, and various things you can make with the clay, different types of pots, flower pots, cooking pots, all kinds of pots you can make. You can make lamps also with the clay, but ultimately it's all clay. So, what is important there is the clay, not the form what it has taken. Similarly, what is important is the gold, not the jewelry, what form it has taken. Then, having said that, he said in the 19th verse, Prakritiyasya ubadhanam adhara purushapara satho abhivyanjaka kalo brahmata tritayandvaham. This Prakriti and Purusha and Kalam, time, because they are separate like that, to say that they are all one may not be correct. And that is being clarified, how they are one, right? It is all dependent on Karya Karanam. Adi Karanam is Prakriti, because from Prakriti comes everything. But Prakriti can, Adhishtanam is Purusha. And these three modes of nature present in the Prakriti, they were agitated by Kalam. So, Prakriti, Purusha, Kala, three things, right? But you may think that these three are independent of their own, but they are not, right? Prakriti is the energy, and Purusha and Kalam, Purusha is the Adhishtanam, and Kalam is the force that is coming from Purusha, which makes Prakriti to start changing, start changing. Right? So Krishna is saying there that all this is ultimately coming from Chaitanya. Chaitanya is the source of everything. Therefore, Pragati is dependent on Chaitanya. Kalam is also dependent on Chaitanya. And Purusha is Chaitanya. So Chaitanya alone exists. This is the principle what Krishna is trying to get through. You see, this karyakaranam, these are things you have to keep reading, thinking about it, and then you will understand Krishna's logic, right? Because we may be thinking, we break up everything and say they are all different things. And on one level, breaking up helps you to understand, to better, isn't it? The modern education is on that basis. You break up everything as much as possible, and then you feel that your mind can comprehend it. For better comprehension, you break up things. That is why all these different branches of knowledge has come in the world, is it not? Different types of knowledge. Like, you see, take this body itself, they break it up again into all sorts of physiology, anatomy, this, that, and all kinds of things. And then separate department for ear, separate department for eye, separate for nose, separate for throat, separate for liver, separate for kidney, separate for orthopedics, separate for dentist, eye specialists, all kinds of specialists. By making up like that, you get the feeling that it makes easier to study things. But because it's all coming from one source, you also have to know the reality behind it. Suppose somebody is treating your eye. He says, I checked your eye, everything is fine. But you got other problems, right? And something is related to eye also. He says, I don't know anything about it. That's somebody else's department. You go there. He throws you out into another department. You go there, and sometimes people go, this chakra goes on between all the departments. With your body, you are having problem, and you are not able to trace where the problem has come. Right? So there is good side and bad side to both. In other words, by breaking up, studying becomes easier, but it is not touching the reality though. Reality is that there is only one thing which has become like this in these different forms. This is what Krishna is pointing out here. Right? So, he is saying here that originally there is only Chaitanyam Brahmam. Then it broke into Purusha and Prakriti. And then Kalam comes, agitates Prakriti. Trigunam comes. Then from Trigunam, that three modes have come. Then Ahankaram born. From Ahankaram, all the other things have come. And then the creation come from that. So, but ultimately, where did it all begin? It began from Chaitanya Brahman. Right? So, it is easy to study it when you break it up for studying purposes. And probably it helps you to get easy to comprehend it with the mind. But Krishna's point is this, that all these changes, what has happened, they are all avastha-vishesham. Avastha-vishesham means Chaitanyam's different state it is. Chaitanyam present in different stages. But it is Chaitanyam at the end. This we should not forget. It is the same Chaitanyam that has changed its format all the time in different ways, and that is why this variegatedness has come. This variety has come. And all of them is dependent on the Chaitanyam, Brahmam, right? And that Brahmam is me, Krishna said. Yeah? Satho abhivyanjaga kalo Brahma tat triyatridayan aham. It is that aham Chaitanyam, right? So Krishna is saying that intelligent people who have got that sushma buddhi, who have studied Shastram properly and have developed that subtle nature in them, they know that it is all me, aham, that is present in all these different forms. Yeah. So that's what we were discussing yesterday. The idea behind that is that the everything what you see here, perceiving here, is created one day. And it stays like that for some time and then it will disappear. And therefore they are not real. What is real here is only the Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is giving reality to everything and Chaitanyam remains. It never gets destroyed. But from Chaitanyam at some stage all these different things have come and we get the perception that they all exist separately from us and they are all permanent in this way. And this feeling is coming because of the presence of Chaitanyam in everything. So, for example, this world exists. Why does it exist for us? Because Chaitanyam is present in the world. That is why. And we also feel that this world will exist like this forever. And that happens also because of Purusha's present in the creation. So, that one that gives reality to that, Adhishthanam, it is called. And it is because of the presence of that Chaitanyam that everything in this world looks as though that it is going to stay like this forever. And it also gives us the impression that it is existing. The feeling we get that this is all existing. It reality, it has no existence. But we feel that it is all existing, isn't it? I know it's a difficult thing sometimes because we are completely in the grip of Maya. Maya won't let you to think independently anything. Maya will always make us feel, she will tell us what we should think. That's how she is, yeah? She will tell us what we should think and we will think like that. And she won't allow the knowledge of the Shastram to come inside us. And like Shastram is saying, all these things are real. They are not real. But Maya is saying this is all real. Maya is saying to us. We are thinking, this body is not real, right? But Maya is saying this body is real. And not only that, Maya has convinced us that we have to spend all our life looking after this body. That is how far Maya is inside us. And everything that happens to the body and the mind, we become very sensitive to it and we put all our effort and energy to protect this body, which it doesn't even exist from the absolute platform. When you look at the body, it has no reality even. So how far, how successful Maya is in convincing us and making us to think in another way. And similarly, Shastram says something that doesn't change, never changes, that alone is the truth. Right? If you apply that verse to anything in this creation, none of these things have any existence. Is it not? If you apply that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, to any of the things in this creation, you take one by one everything and look at it. None of them have any reality to it. Right? And we understand theoretically that, but for us now, it all exists. This is the confusion it has done, right? The reason for that is Purusha, Chaitanyam, is present in all of that. That's the reason for that. Because of the presence of Chaitanyam, all this seems to exist, real to us, even though the verse in the Bhagavad Gita says it differently. See how difficult it is? Shastram will say, speak the truth. Once you have accepted Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita as the truth, and if you apply that into this world, you can see the confusion we are at. So the reality what you find for the creation is that is due to its Adhishthanam, Chaitanyam, right? And then, how long this should stay is decided by kalam, is it not? In this form, it says kalam. And it is this kalam, or time, what we call, is the one which agitates the three modes. And so in this way, there are three things. Kalam, which is agitating it, and the foundation of everything, which is Chaitanyam Purusha. And when all these three things are exist, then the Prakriti, Purusha and the Kalam. When these things are existing, how can Advaitam come into that? And that is why Krishna is saying this. Sato abhivyanjaka kalo brahma tat tridayandvaham. Tridayandvaham, he is saying. Krishna is saying again, these three things, Prakriti, Purusha and Kalam, it's all this Chaitanyam only. Aham, awareness, consciousness, right? Previously, prior to this, prior to Purusha, Kalam and Prakriti came, it was only me existing. Aham, Sachidananda Paramatma, right? And in that Sachidananda Paramatma, Maya appears. And due to that Maya, this separation happened as Prakriti and Purusha in two things, right? And that is now, then the creation began from that. So, creation, its upadana karanam is Prakriti. It's come from Prakriti's another form is this creation. And the adhishtanam of all this is Purusha. And then the three modes of nature, which were agitated by Kalam. Kalam is behind that. And Krishna is saying, all of that is me, aham, which is Sachidananda Brahmam. So, Sachidananda Brahmam is the cause of everything. Only Sachidananda Brahmam exists, nothing else exists. And that Sachidananda Brahmam is the cause of creation. Prakriti, Purusha, Kalam and all these things has come around from that, came around from that, and they are also Sachidananda Brahmam. They are not separate from Sachidananda Brahmam. Prakriti, Purusha and Kalam, right? So what existed before was Sachidananda Brahmam, and later on in devastation times also, after devastation also, what will exist is only Sachidananda Brahmam. Right? In between, what exists is also Sachidananda Brahmam. Same Chatushlogi Bhagavatam, Krishna is again putting it through this verse. Chatushlogi Bhagavatam, the first verse, Ahameva Samayavagre, that verse is again spoken here. Krishna has spoken in this way, right? In other words, everything is Brahmam. And what you see as different from Brahmam is because of Maya Vilasam, Maya's Vilasam, right? And because of that avidya inside us, what Maya does is, it puts us avidya inside us. And with that avidya, we see that there is a world exists separately from Brahmam. And in this world also, we also feel all of us are separate entities. Separate entities, right? And what Krishna is saying here, all this is mithya. Ajnanam, avidya, misunderstanding, or it's called brahmam, right? And in other words, all of us and this creation, what we are experiencing, everything is all brahmam only. Having said, next words. Sarga pravartadetaval paurvabariyana nityasha mahan gunavisargartham stityando yavadikshanam. So, in this follow process, right, the past, present and future, which also we know has no meaning. Because like we say, gunam are three, satunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. We have broken them up into three. But actually it is gunam only at the end. But we broke it up for different reasons, as satvam, rajasya, tamasya. In the same way, kalam also we broke it up into three, past, present and future. Actually kalam has no meaning. And because Brahman is not affected by kalam under any circumstances. Kalam has nothing to do with Brahman, right? And in the beginning, kalam is responsible for the creation. And in the middle, kalam is present in the form of all the objects here. And at the end, when kalam come to a certain stage, kalam changes everything and everything disappears from here. So, creation, if you look at it, father, son, then son becomes father, and then he gets a son, and then he becomes a father. In this way, father, son, in that way, creation continues. And so, in order that dharmartha kama moksham, the purushartham, in order that to work out properly, this system is required. Father to son, in that way, right? So, all this is some unusual power above everything is controlling the creation. You can call it by whatever name you like, but that power is in control. And that power is managing the show from behind. If that much, if we accept that, I think to some extent we have understood Sankhyam then. So Prakriti will continue to keep changing all the time in the form of cause and effect, in that way. And this world will exist as long as that process goes on. Then he talks about devastation in the next verse. Viranmaya sadhyamano lokam kalpavikalpakaha panchatvaya visheshaya kalpade bhuvanehi saha. About devastation, talking about, right? This universe is under influence of time. Kalam decides when it should disappear. And finally it turns up into five materials, right? What is that? Five material elements it becomes. The whole thing becomes five material elements, right? At that time, this nanatvam goes away. Nanatvam means this variegatedness goes away when it comes to that five material elements, right? And that is called a devastation, pralayam. Anne praliyade martyam, annam dhanasu liyade, nana bhumo praliyande, bhumir gandhe praliyade. And from, this is Upanishadam, from Upanishads, right? It says that tasmal eda asmad atmana akashaha sambudaha. From Atma came Akasham, space. From space came Akashal Vayu, air came. From air came fire, Vayu Agni, Agner Apa. From Vayu came Agni, from Agni came water. Then Adhya Prithivi, from there earth. Prithivya Aushadhi, all the plants and all the other Aushadhis came from earth, Prithivi. And then from Aushadhi became the food for others. From that Purusha comes. In this way Srishtikrama, the process, right? Opposite to that, the reverse process is how it all gets dissolved, right? You can see when food is not there, bodies don't exist anymore. Therefore, body goes back into the food again. Annam goes back to the seed, and seed goes back to the earth, and earth goes back to smell, because that is her tanmatra, Prithvi's tanmatra, and then that reverse process goes back again. Apsupraliyade gandham, abhascha sugune rase, Liyade jyotishi raso, jyoti rupe praliyade. Gandham goes to water, water goes to taste, taste goes to fire, fire goes to form, and form goes to air, and air goes into sound, sound goes into space, in that way. Rupam vayau jasparshe, the reverse process of the creation, that's all. Rupam vayau jasparshe liyade sobicha ambare, ambaram shabda tanmatra indriyani svayonishu. Right? Rupam goes to vayu, vayu to sparsham, sparsham to agasham, agasham to shabdam. So, this thing, what was spoken here, is all coming from the tamasahangaram, is it not? All the elements have come from tamasahangaram. And now, this is the elements, right? Now, senses have come from rajasahangaram, right? How do they go back? They go back in the devastation time. Senses goes back into its predominating deities. It goes back to them. The nature of senses is action, right? And action is controlled by the devadas present in the senses. That is why it is spoken like this, that senses goes back to its predominating deities, right? And then, all those predominating deities to whom the senses have gone in, those predominating deities goes back into Rajasahangaram from they came from. Yonir Vaigarike Saumyam Liyade Manasishwari Shabdo Budadi Mapyedi Budadir Mahadi Prabhu. The devadas who operate the senses, Adishtadra devadas, right? They are all controlled by the mind. They are present in the mind. Then mind has come from Satya Ahangaram. So it goes back to Satya Ahangaram. And earlier we said Panchabhudam, five material elements, goes back into Akasham and stays there. Right? And then its original cause was Tamasahangaram, where it came from. Right? So these three ahangaram, Rajasahangaram, Satyahangaram and Tamasahangaram, all the three ahangarams, they have pulled back everything which has come from that. They have pulled them back. Now they are in these three states, right? And because they are like that, these three ahangaram at that stage, when it has become Satvika Rajasa Tamasa Ahangaram, they give up the Jada Amsham present in them. Jada Amsham, right? They give up that Jada Amsham and that remains as Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti in the Mahatattvam stage. It comes back to that, right? And it dissolves into Mahatattvam in that form. So you can see, if you study this process of creation, Upanishad process, right, you will see how Chaitanyam is controlling all the way through from beginning to end, and also in the reverse way, when it goes back. In the same way it came about, the same way it goes back. But everything was happening because of the presence of Chaitanyam all the way through. So, that is why he says here, you see, Krishna is using that word here, that these three types of ahangaram, Satvika Rajasa Tamasa ahangaram, had the capacity to create all these things. The material elements, tanmatras, the subtle body, and mind, intelligence, everything. And then, from there, all the further creation all. Because Ahangaram had all these capacity to do that, Krishna calls Ahangaram Bhudadhar Mahadi Prabhu. He calls it as Prabhu. He is Prabhu, master. Who? Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the master, right? Saliyade Mahan Seshu Guneshu Gunavattama Te Avyakte Sampraliyande Tad Kale Liyade Avyaye. Then once you come to that level, then Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti, they are responsible for that. And Mahatattvam goes back, and Jnanam Kriya compared to them, right? Those gunam go back into Prakriti, where it came from. Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam has all gone by then. So, you have to look at this way, how Shastram says about creation, right? And the when all the three gunam disappears, samavastha comes, and that state is called avyaktam, what is used in the Bhagavad Gita also. Avyaktam vyaktimabhannam manyadema mabuddhaya parambhavamajanando, all those verses you can see in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So that avyaktam stage is Prakriti, and Prakriti disappears with kalam. Kalam never gets affected by anything. Then kalo mayamaye jivai, jiva almani maya jay, alma kevalam almasto vigalpavaya lakshana. Kalam dissolves in the chaitanyam, right? So the first tool that is required for this process to begin is kalam. Kalam charandam srijadisham ashrayam. In the seventh canto you will find a verse. Kalam charandam srijad isha ashrayam. Creation all can happen only with the support of kalam. And kalam is created, that force that's come from Sachidananda Brahman. Kalam goes back to Jiva, and Jiva goes back to Atma. So, that Jiva goes back to Atma, right? At that moment, we have become free from the Jiva Bhava. We are not in the state of Jiva anymore. And what that means is, Jiva realizes that he is not something can be destroyed. He cannot be destroyed. None of us can be destroyed. But Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Even though all these changes are happening continuously, the jiva inside us, which is the jiva, that jiva becomes free from the cycle of birth and death, and he becomes one with the Atma at that time. And Alma remains. Alma doesn't have anywhere to go. Alma remains as Alma, right? So, Alma is the foundation of everything. Everything began from Atma, and then all this big creation process, what's spoken, happened. And it reverse way it happens at the time of devastation, which is all controlled by Kalam. And Alma remains as Alma, and that is the end of that, right? So, in this way, this chapter is a bit a difficult one, because we feel, what connection have we got with all this? That's what everybody will think when they read this chapter. It says, is there any? But from Krishna's point of view, it's an important chapter, because this Sankhya Yogam, you can see, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see the effect of Sankhyam there, right? So, as I said before that, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has brought all the important darshanam, different types of schools of thought, right? He has brought Patanjali's Yogam into it. You can see Dhyana Yogam chapter, Brahma Yoga, Akshara Brahma, all that is coming from the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, right? So Patanjali's Yoga Sutra Krishna has brought into Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, Upanishad's part is the last chapters all, from 13th onwards. It's all the Upanishad's knowledge, which is Vedanta. So Krishna has pulled that in from the Upanishad side. into Bhagavad Gita, right? Upanishad's knowledge. That has come from Brahma Sutram, and which Vyasa Maharshi has written as Brahma Sutram. So, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram has come. Similarly, Upanishad's Vedanta Sutram, which is a summary of Vedanta Sutrams, in Vedavyasa Maharshi's summary, is this Brahma Sutra. That knowledge also has brought in the end of Bhagavad Gita, from 13 to 18 chapters. Then, Jaimini's Karma Sutram, Krishna has brought that into the third chapter, fourth chapter, all that. There you will find how karmam and is seen through the Karmakandam section of the Vedam and Jaimini's Karma Sutram, that knowledge. So Karma Sutram has come like that. Yoga Sutram has come inside. Brahma Sutram also has come inside. Upanishads, right? So, in this way, then Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam, Sankhya Sutram. That is also brought in the second chapter and in other chapters also, in different places, right? So, different rishis, Kapila Maharshi, Patanjali, Vedavyasa Maharshi, and all of the Jaimini, all their different realizations of their specialized branches, what they have spoken about. Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled all that in the form of Bhagavad Gita and spoken by Krishna to Arjuna in Kurukshetra. So, added to that, you will also see there, at different places, the Upanishad's knowledge coming in. Kathopanishad, Shedashvadra Upanishad, Chandokya Upanishad, verses directly taken from that into Bhagavad Gita. So, if you analyze Bhagavad Gita that way, you will start seeing the connection of Bhagavad Gita with the Upanishads as well as the Vedam and to some extent with the Puranams as well. Everything is there in the Bhagavad Gita. That's the beauty. That the way in 700 verses, how Krishna managed to pull all the knowledge of these different rishis, Patanjali, Jayamini, and Vedavyasa Maharshi, and all the great rishis, their knowledge has all been brought inside into it, plus the Upanishad's knowledge there. And then if you look at Bhagavad Gita in that way, how different Upanishads have influenced, particularly Kathopanishad. So that way if you study it, you will get to understand better Bhagavad Gita. Rather than simply thinking Bhagavad Gita is an independent text and thinking that I will only look at Bhagavad Gita, all other books have no relevance to it. That does not make very, you won't get a deeper level of understanding of Bhagavad Gita. You will always have questions. Because it is difficult for anyone to say the background of coming from Kathopanishad, what Nachiketas was talked to Yama, and what was discussed there, how Krishna has brought that into Bhagavad Gita. If you look at that connection there, you will start seeing the influence of Kathopanishad on the Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, the Chandokya Upanishad, its influence on Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, the influence of Shedashvadra Upanishad. So many Upanishads have got so much contributed to Bhagavad Gita. So it is very difficult to say that Upanishad's knowledge, which existed before Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna, naturally Krishna has kept all that without losing the spirit of the Upanishads. He kept that in the Bhagavad Gita. So, understanding Bhagavad Gita, that is what I am saying, that you can study Bhagavad Gita as long as you want in life, you will never come to an end. Because once you start thinking in this way, the contribution from the Upanishads, contribution of Brahma Sutram into Bhagavad Gita, contribution of Yoga Sutram of Patanjali, naturally when you start studying that sixth chapter, Dhyana Yogam, you will be interested to find out, where did all this come from? It came from Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. And then you start taking Yoga Sutram and start studying, you get a better idea of what Krishna has spoken in the sixth chapter, Dhyana Yoga. Dhyanam, Krishna summarized in 40 or 45 verses, something like that, right? But the foundation of that is in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. Similarly, Kapila Maharshi's Sanghyam, what Krishna has brought into Bhagavad Gita, its foundation stays in the Kapila Maharshi's Sangha Shastra, Sanghyam, right? That Sanghyam is spoken in the Bhagavadam, in the third canto, 25 to 33, and that too also is a summary form. What is spoken in the Bhagavadam as Kabilam, they call it Kabilam. Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti Devi, because Sri Shukha Brahmarshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi decided to bring Kapila Maharshi's Sankhyam into Bhagavadam, and through Shukha Brahmarshi spoke about that. That's the first Upadesham in the Bhagavadam. Which one? Kapila Upadesham. It's the first Upadesham in the Bhagavadam. So that Kapila Upadesham, if you understand it very well, you will understand Vedantam well without any problem. So all the Upadeshams in the Bhagavadam, for example, Kapila Upadesham, then the same Kapila Upadesham in another form is presented by Bharata to Rahugana, Bharata Upadesham. Prior to that, there is Rishabhopadesham. Rishabhadev giving instructions to his children, is it not? So Rishabhopadesham, then Bharata Upadesham. Then we have finally Navayogi, Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. There also the same topic is discussed. And in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna explains to Uddhava, Uddhava Upadesham comes there. So if you keep all the Upadeshams together and look at it, only the Upadeshams, if you keep it together and look at that, you will see there how the different Upadeshams all points out to the same one thing, self-realization, but how different personalities presented it to the world at different times in the history. Kapila Maharshi spoke to Devahuti Devi because Devahuti Devi is his mother. So in order to help her, he gave this knowledge to her in a particular format. Rishabhadev, being a father, he gave the knowledge to his children in a particular format. Then Bharata Yogi, who became a yogi later, he met his disciple Rahugana and he gave to his disciple in another format. But what all they are talking about is one and the same thing. That is how you understand Bhagavadam. Otherwise, every episode is independent and separate and you start either here nor there, you don't see any connection between the two. That's no good. Then you finally see Krishna bringing all together and saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, ultimately there is only one thing here, Atma. Nothing else exists. So Krishna, because of that importance of Atma, to stress that actually what exists here is only Chaitanyam. Nothing else exists here. What you see here in different forms is all later developments. It has no reality to it. Reality is only Chaitanyam. To stress that point, Sanghyam he has used, Sanghya Shastram. And that is that Sanghya Shastram is this 24th chapter. 24th chapter. It may not be very pleasing for us to study it, because it's very, some people say it's very dry. Eh? Oh, it's not very, we want esoteric only, ecstatic, we want ecstasy, and so people who are used to ecstasy, they won't find it very ecstatic, this chapter, right? Anyway, you can see when you study the chapter seriously, what Krishna is trying to drive us at, yeah? What he is trying to tell us is this, that Atma exists, nothing else exists. Others have no reality. To come to that conclusion, it helps. So, having said that, as Krishna mentioned a few things there, that Ahankaram, Krishna has given, called Prabhu, Master. Why is that? He is capable of putting everybody into trouble. That's why. This Ahankaram is capable of giving trouble to everybody. Therefore, Krishna calls it as Prabhu. Krishna calls it as Prabhu. And then, it is due to this Ahankaram that all of us are trapped in this body. Right? And in material existence. We are in material existence because of this ahankara, right? And because of its ability, this ahankara, and then ahankaram also broke into three, sattvika, rajasa, tamasam, in that way. And mahatattvam is this jnana shakti, kriya shakti, drivya shakti and all that. So, and then finally Maya goes back. This Maya who has done all these things, she goes back and goes back to Purusha. And with that, it's coming to an end, right? And ultimately, Krishna is saying, there's only Sachidanandam here. Separately from this Sachidanandam, nothing exists here. This is Krishna's categorical statement. Separately, and Krishna, because he was in that Sachidanandam state always, he was not affected by the creation, like we are affected. When Mahabharata war happened, he is smiling. Isn't it? When his own family members beat up and killed each other, he is smiling. Finally, so when you look at Krishna's family life from our position, it is a disaster. Is it not? All the children, grandchildren all together fought each other, got drunk. Does that mean that Krishna was not a good parent? All his children got drunk, right? They took the sticks, pulled out all the sticks from the from Prabhasam and beat up each other nicely and killed everybody one after the other. They all got killed. Bhagavatam says only three or four left at the end. Such a big householder, 16,108 wives and 10 children from each of the sons. So you can imagine that alone comes to 160,000 family members. They all fought and beat up each other and they destroyed themselves. And then Krishna smiles and goes back from here. Why? How could he do that? Because he is Sachidananda state always. He knows all what is going on here is not real. Able to be in that state of consciousness. Whereas for us, you look at our condition. We got only one wife, one child, and with that the whole life is busy. And if a slight disturbance happens there, we get disturbed. Everything. So this is the difference, that state of consciousness, Krishna's state of consciousness. Right? So all these things as spoken to come out of this Dvaita Brahmam. Right? And that is for, it is for to free ourselves from Dvaitam, Sanghyam was spoken. Sanghyam was spoken. This, as I said before, this Sanghyam is not the Sanghyam what has become popular in the world later, Nimishvara Sanghyam, right? Because the Sanghyam what is presented in the world now is the one which begins in Dvaitam and finishes in Dvaitam. Whereas this Sanghyam is Advaita Sanghyam. It is Advaita Sanghyam. So, it has started with Advaita Satyam and it finishes in Advaita Satyam, Sachidananda Brahman. Right? So, Srimad Bhagavata Sankhyam is Advaita Satyam. Right? And not the Sankhyam, what is popularly known among the scholars in the Shad Darshanam Sankhyam, which is Nirishvara Sankhyam. Right? So, with that, the 24th chapter finishes, right? And now, these are all these things are spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam. It's very helpful to understand spiritual life properly, rather than getting carried away by what people are saying, so many things, what others are doing. Rather than, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will get to understand that what Krishna was trying to tell us. In the next chapter, What Krishna is going to say, that is the 25th chapter, is Krishna spoke about Pragati, Krishna spoke about Purusha also. In Bichu Gita, he spoke about how Bichu realized the truth through his those verses, right? And then in the last chapter, Krishna spoke about Pragati and Purusha, how to know it better through Sankhyam, right? But there is one problem here, that even though you have understood all these things, well, still, these three modes of nature is there in this world, right? And if you have not succeeded in coming out of these three modes of nature, you will still be affected by happiness and distress. That's the power of the three modes of nature. So, for that, Krishna is saying, you have to win over these three modes of nature as well. And to make us understand how the three modes of nature works, he's going to talk about in this chapter, how do you understand a particular mode of nature in a person? And due to the presence of the modes of nature, how Purusha gets affected by that. And that is this chapter altogether, right? Because Purusha, due to his connection with the modes of nature, sambandham with the gunam, right? What can happen to Purusha? What can happen to Purusha, right? And that is how he begins this chapter. Shri Bhagavan Vacham Gunanam Samishranam Pumani Enayatha Bhavid Tanme Purusha Vajedam Ubhadhareya Shamsadam. It says that Gunanam Samishranam Pumani Enayatha Bhavid Tanme Purusha Vajedam Ubhadhareya Shamsadam. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, from me, listen to me, he says, that how these three modes of nature has its effect on the Purusha, right? Then, saying that, he said, Asamishranam. Asamishranam means not mixed, independent gunam, each gunam, on its own, right? And how individual gunam, sattugunam, rajagunam, tamagunam, how they will have its effect on the Purusha. He begins that. Shamo damam tidiksha icha tapam satyam daya smriti tushti tyagam spriha ashraddha hri dayadiswa narubrati. Shamo dama tidiksha icha tapas satyam daya smriti tushti tyago spriha ashraddha hri dayadiswa narubrati. From sattva-gunam in a person, right, what you will get from that, from sattva-gunam, right, you will have control of the mind and control of the words, what you speak. Both senses of knowledge and senses of action, both will be under control. Similarly, when happiness and distress comes in life, he won't be affected by that. These are all symptoms of sattva-gunam in a person, right? And he'll be able to tolerate both happiness and distress at the same time. Apart from all that, that person will always be thoughtful what is permanent. If someone's thought process, his state of mind, in other words, is such that what's going on in this world, it's going on. It doesn't affect him. Able to stay out of that. Not affected by the happiness and distress of this world, on one side. On the other side, inside him, This thought will be working all the time. What is the reality in all these things, in this world? Why am I here? And what is the truth behind it? If your mind is going in that direction, that is spiritual direction. It is. Satugunam it is. Most of the people don't have time for all this, is it not? They have to make a few bucks in this world. They are running after this and endlessly, whole life is devoted for this. Because everything is based on the body for them. So to maintain this body, to maintain the bodily extensions, in this way whole life has gone for them. They didn't have time, they say, to think about all these things. And if somebody says something to them, they will say, why you waste your time doing all those things? Think about today, now, here. So you can see the whole world is busy in that. Looking after the body, looking after the bodily existence, in other words. So Krishna is saying here that one who has control of the mind and senses, he is the only one who can do this. That's one of his quality. Control of mind and control of senses, one. Secondly, when happiness and distress comes, he is not affected by that so much. Some people get so affected, but some people get less affected. So, when you get less affected by that, it is satugunam. That is a satugunam in a person, right? So, if a person is like that, not getting affected by the happiness and distress of this world, then the third thing Krishna is saying is, that someone who is very reflective in nature, thinking about life a little bit more deeper level, what this life is all about? Is there a way out from this? Because the benefit of Sattvagunam is, you will have faith in the Shastra. You won't question Shastram then. You will read Shastram, you will take the knowledge of the Shastram. These are all benefits of Sattvagunam. If there is no Sattvagunam, you will question and question everything in this world. Endlessly. And you will get nowhere at the end. You do require Shastram to guide us through, because these three modes of nature is strongly present in all of us. So Krishna is saying here that when he is suffering here, he knows there is a lot of suffering going on here, and there is more suffering than happiness, more distress than happiness. He will weigh up everything himself and he will come to the right conclusions that there is more suffering here than happiness. And then he will be thinking always, seriously, is there a way out from this? That means he is more looking towards the truth rather than trying to deal with the world all the time and solve the problems of this world. These are all symptoms of Sattvagunam, Krishna saying that. And then he will have certain qualities in him. What are they? For example, he will not deviate from dharma. He will not go outside the periphery of dharma. Within the path of dharma, he will stay under any circumstances. In other words, you cannot tempt him with anything that he will break all the principles of dharma. And for that, tapas is required. Tapas. Krishna will talk about this tapas in the Bhagavad Gita in the end, right? What does tapasya means? Everything is tapasya in life. A lot of things are tapasya. Many things we don't know we are doing tapasya in life. Yeah, tapasya is a difficult thing to understand. What is tapasya means, right? Krishna has explained that in the Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yogam, in the Bhagavad Gita. You will see, when he talks about Shraddha, he will say what tapasya is, right? Tapasya of the body, tapasya of the mind, tapasya of the words. All the three he talks about separately. And all the three, under the three modes, how they will be. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will say that. Yeah. So, tapas is such a thing that makes a person, prepares the field. Before you start cultivating in a land, you have to prepare the field. It's not, you plow the land and then water arrangements for the land. So many things you do in the land, preparing it for growing some food in the land. Paddy fields or wheat or whatever it is. You have to prepare the land. This tapas is the thing called preparation for that. preparing the life, preparing the mind, preparing the body, everything for spiritual life. That is called tapasa. Tapasa means preparing our mind, preparing our body, everything ready for spiritual sadhana, for sadhana process. One has to prepare the mind, prepare the body, everything. So when he talks about tapasya, tapasya Krishna is saying there, is at different levels you do tapasya. Tapasya of the body, for example, if you take, Ekadashi is one of that. To keep the mind and the body and the senses under control. For that purpose. That means, basically Ekadashi is, we will explain it in different ways, for example, controlling the senses. Senses, mind and all, normally they are absorbed with the sense objects in the world. But when you withdraw from them, it requires some food. So engaging in different sadhana processes. Similarly, not eating rice and controlling the food and everything on Ekadashi day is basically, it's a tapasya it is. It's a one level of tapasya that is, right? Then japam, dhyanam, all these things are tapasya of the mind. What do? They purify our bhava mandalam inside, mano mandalam inside, subtle body. Purification of the subtle body, that's the idea behind japam, dhyanam, puja, all the other kind of, they are also tapasya. That's also included in the tapasya. Similarly, salsangam, for example. Salsangam is considered to be tapasya. Why is it tapasya? Because in your mind some desire has come and you are willing to make some sacrifice to understand Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, and you have developed some faith in the Shastram, and that Shastram is giving you some strength inside in your spiritual life. So to come to salsangam, listening Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam is also tapasya. In one level it is tapasya it is, right? Because you have to give up so many other activities what you would have been doing otherwise. So in this way, tapasya is different levels it is done. And to understand that you have to read that chapter, Shraddha, Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yoga. So Krishna is, for example, you go on pilgrimage, that is also kind of tapasya. Even though we don't do the pilgrimage in the modern world, it's more like a tourist industry, like the spiritual tourism it is. But strictly speaking, when Krishna has spoken about tapasya, if you want to see Tirthyatra and all, like the way Vidura has gone, you remember, 36 years he wandered around the whole Bharatabhumi, from place to place he wandered around, and then he came back and asked to Maitreya that question, Sukhaya Karmani Karyoti Lokam. So that is proper Tirthyatra, right? Now we have a shadow of all that in our Tirthyatra now. We book our flights and it's more like going on a holiday. The mood, I'm saying, is more going on a holiday, right? So that is not Tirthyatra, but Tirthyatra is also tapasya. Tirthyatra is tapasya. And similarly, association with Mahatma, Salsangam, all this is tapasya only. So this tapasya Krishna is saying here, his thoughts are, one who is in Sattugunam, his thoughts that his tapasya will be such that he will not deviate from dharma, because he is very fixed in dharma, the rules of dharma. Dharma prajita kaida votra paramam nirmal saranam sadam. Then karya karana vicharam, in other words, he will analyze properly things, cause and effect of everything. Then satisfied with what he gets in life, he is not always thinking of making money. And his nature itself is, what he requires in this world, he takes it for his living, minimum living. And what extra money what he has got, he spends it, doesn't keep to himself anything. This is all the sattugunam working in a person, right? And similarly, sense objects and sense gratification, he does not find that very attractive, because he thinks that it will destroy him. And also vairagyam had come from sense enjoyment. More than anything else, firm faith in the words of the Shastram. That's most important. Very firm faith in the Shastram. right? And similarly, he feels shy to do certain things. That's what it's mentioned here. Hri. Hri means feeling shy of things which others will consider it as low class, in other words. Right? Similarly, charity. And always in yadi, so nirvruti. Nirvruti means always in a fulfillment inside. He doesn't want anything from this world. No desires inside. He has not cultivated much desires inside. So all these things, Krishna says, comes from sattvaguna. And if sattvaguna builds up strongly, you will see this nature in him, in his life. If you observe the person, you will see all these qualities in him. What Krishna has spoken here. Shamo dama tidikshecha tapas satyam dayasmriti tushti tyagam spriha shraddha hri dayadiswa narvruti. Dayadiswa narvruti, right? So that is basically sattvagunam is. So rather than saying those qualities, Krishna is saying that when you see these things in people, that's the way Krishna has presented it here, that when you see these, you can take it that the sattvagunam in that person is dominating him. Then, kamam iha madam trishna, stambham ashirbhida sukham, madam ulsaham yasha predir, hasyam viryam balam udyamam. It's not very difficult to understand this, because if you keep looking at people, you will see this all the time. So it makes it a lot easier. We have got a lot of examples of this in this world. Like you can see the big businessmen. They are all this category. This next one. Right? Continuously wants to expand. Economic development. All these ideas coming from this lot. What are they? He says that they have to have sense enjoyment. They want sense enjoyment, their family members, they want sense enjoyment, and they want friends also enjoy senses. So basically, they live in the world of sense enjoyment. That's all matters to them. One holiday, come back and work for a few days, go for next holiday, running for the next one. Right? That Rajogunam is coming out like this. Right? And he makes his schedule in such a way in the calendar. He marks all his holidays first, where he has to go. And he is very serious, and he is very alert to all the holidays available in the world, all the holiday companies, where the best offers are, and where the what kind of sense gratification is available at different holiday destinations. All these things is in his head, very well recorded. And he knows when to pull it out when he's required, and he'll be very good at that, booking these holidays. These are the nature of a person. That sense enjoyment inside, rajogunam inside, compels him to do that. He cannot sit in one place and read Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam and understand from that what Krishna is saying. No, rajogunam won't allow him to do that. Then, apart from that, so basically his life is centered around sense enjoyment. He wants to enjoy in different ways. In different ways. Eating different types of food, going to different places to see different types of people, what they are living. Maybe the beach bag is in the hand, but the mind is everywhere else in the world. There are people like that, yeah? So that doesn't help. That doesn't help, right? So, because Vishaya Sukham, that desire for sense enjoyment, is not going away. It's increasing day by day, because he's getting used to different types of sense enjoyment at different places in different ways. And that's not going away from inside. The mind is, the decision inside is not spiritual. It's very much based on the happiness of this world, right? And all, he will work hard for that. He will give his life for that, right? Day and night, weekends, holiday, every time. He is willing to devote most of his time for that, right? And then a lot of wealth is coming in life, due to his prarabdham, whatever that is, a lot of wealth is coming, And when the wealth comes, he keeps a good account of that, and then he wants to increase it further from that, because all these holidays have to be supported with the wealth, right? So, and that means inside there is a lot of desires working, not shanti inside, full of desires, wants to enjoy, wants to go here, go there, eat this, eat that, go skiing, go this, go do that. All kinds of things will come to the heads, right? Similarly, he sees so many things in this world to enjoy, then he wants to have them. So in order to get that, he has to work hard more. And he'll go after that, and if he ends up in a big battle, doesn't matter, the country has to fight for that, right? And similarly, you can also observe, those who glorify him, he is very happy with them. These are the people like that. If you glorify them, that they are doing very well in life. You know how karmis are, don't they? They say to each other, oh, you're doing very well, aren't you? Yeah, yes, I'm doing very well because I'm making a lot of money now. This is the measuring rod, or this is how they measure each other. That you are making a lot of money and you are enjoying senses means you are doing very well. Yeah. So, and if you say that you are doing very well, he is happy with you. Similarly, others who are not doing well, he looked down upon them. He says, he's useless. He never had any holidays. He's not making any money in life. He's wasting his time in this world. Why is he so useless, he says. Then he will try to increase his own energy, effort, right? All this nature is come from Rajogunam, Krishna is saying. Rajogunam, right? So that is what he is saying. Kamam iha, madam trishna, stambham ashirbhida sukham, madam ulsaham, yashas preeti, hasyam viryam velam udyamam. From these two verses, you will be able to understand very clearly the difference between Sattvagunam and Rajogunam. It's not difficult at all. Because so they are so distinct by nature. Isn't it? We'll talk about it after the break. Cheto darpanam arjanam vomaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakairava chandriya vidaranam vidyavato jivanam आनंदाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुभनम्बरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसंकीर्तनं नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममावि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारभीषु नीचेन तरोरभी सहिष्णुना अमानि नामानदेना कीर्तनीय सदा हरि नथनम न जनम न सुंदरीम कविदाम वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदाल भक्तिरहै दुगित्वै अये नंद तनुज किंगरम पतिदामाम शमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तव पाद पंकज स्थित दूले सदृशं विचिन्तय नयनं गलदशुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगैर्निजिदं गदावतो तवन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायिदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिदं शून्यायिदं जगल् सर्वं गोविन्दविरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टमाम् अदर्शनामर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तथा वा विददादुलम्बनो मल्प्राणनाथास्त्वन एव नापरा सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविंद गोविंद श्री भगवान उवाच गुणानाम समिश्राणाम पुमान येन यथा भवेत् तन्मे पुरुषवैरेदम् उभधारेशम् सदा शमोदमतिदीक्षेषा तपः सत्यम् दया स्मृति तुष्टित्यागो स्पृहा श्रद्धा हृदयादि सुनुवृति काम इहा मदस्तृष्णा स्तम्भम् आशीर्भिदा सुखम् मद उत्साह यश प्रेदिर्हास्यम वीर्यम बलोद्यमम. So out of the three modes of nature, Krishna has spoken about the nature of Sattvagunam, how that will reflect in a person, and the nature of Rajogunam, how that reflects in someone. So if you read that, those two verses, it's very clear and very distinct. You can understand what Sattvagunam does and what Rajogunam does in a person, right? Then having said that, that the tamogunam, how that comes, krodham, lobham, amrudam, himsa, ajna, dhambha, klama, kali, shoga, moho, visharati, nidrasha, bhir, anudyama. When someone says something, unable to tolerate that, asahanam, krodham, anger coming from that, and I won't spend my money for others, I keep to myself, right? And questioning Shastram all the time, saying that what is spoken in the Shastram is not acceptable, in that way, questioning the Shastram. Then giving tamang to others and wants everything from others into their sight, right? And to convince others that I am always in the path of dharma. Laziness, argumentative nature. Then if anything happens in life which is not very pleasant, simply feeling disturbed over it always and suffering from that, and understanding everything in the wrong way. That's one of misunderstanding of things, right? And thinking that all these good qualities are going to come to me one day later in the future, thinking that way. And when you start trying to do something, you're fearful about it and therefore not doing anything because of the fear of doing something. In this, these subhavam, Krishna is saying that you will see in people in whom tamogunam is building up in them. Yeah. Tamogunam builds up and it manifests in this phase, in these three different verses, number 2, 3 and 4. Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And all the three gunam, if you carefully look at it, you will see they are different, totally different. And you will be able to observe that also in others. In yourself also you can see that, and you can see in others as well. How these three gunams comes in people, in different, dominating them strongly, right? Then Krishna says that, I have said this in a general terms, he said. This sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, right? But normally they will come in a mixed form. Not one is purely in sattugunam. Nobody is purely in rajogunam. Nobody is purely in tamogunam. The three gunams also comes in people in a mixed form. So he's saying that in the next verse. Sattvasya rajasattascheida tamasaschayana purvasha vrittayo varnita praya sannipatham adoshruno. That is called sannipatham. Sannipatham means that when they are coming together, combined, mixed together, right? So, he says, when they come mixed form, what happens? He's going to say about that in the next verse. Sannipadastvam ahamidi mamedi uddhavayamati vivaharam sannipado mano matrendriya subhi. Uddhava, he says, Krishna says, Uddhava, one who identifies with the body a lot, in body as himself, right? And thinks that my children, very important for me, they matter a lot. Similarly, mind, senses, pranam, all these things happens due to contact with the sense objects. Shabdam, sosham, rupam, rasam, gandham, right? And due to that, you are feeling happiness and distress in life. And that is all due to the mixing of the different modes of nature. Mixing of the different modes of nature, right? If individual gunam were there, only one gunam was there, right? Suppose they were separated, each gunam were separated, vyabharam will come down. That means senses won't go to sense objects much in that state, in the balanced state, right? But this vyavaharam in the world goes on is because of this mixture of the modes of nature. These are things one should think through a lot to understand and observe the world and notice these things. Then when modes of nature are mixing together, that is when vyavaharam increases in people. Suppose pure modes of is independently existing, sattugunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, they are in a balanced state, no action will come from that. But vyavaharam comes up, or these interactions comes up, when modes of nature are mixing together, that's when vyavaharam begins. So, that is what is called the sannivadam. What Krishna uses the word? Sannivadam. Sannivadam means this mixture of these modes of nature. So, if sattugunam is very strong in someone, right, he will think himself that I have knowledge and I am in a peaceful state. That will be his nature. And similarly, if rajogunam is strong in a person, you will observe that he wants to do a lot of things. That tendency for karmam is very strong inside. Yeah. And similarly, if the karmam what he does, if it doesn't work out the way he wanted, then krodham will come to him. Because he is doing everything with a lot of attachment. That's rajogunam, right? And similarly, if tamogunam is strong in a person, he'll be lazy and he feels depressed. In this way, they themselves will know that what's going on inside. The person in sattugunam, he will know his state of mind. The person in rajogunam, he will know his state of mind. And the person in tamogunam also knows his state of mind. And looking at their dealings in the world, how they deal with their vyavaharam in this world, right? Others will observe that and they will talk about that, their nature. So, what will happen in that situation is that some of their gunam will increase and some other gunam will come down in them. And it is a rule, he says here, vyavaharam sannivado mano matrendriya subhi. In other words, if two gunams are present in a person, it will be complementing each other. In other words, if two gunams are not the way they operate it, it's like this. Suppose there is sattugunam in a person, and there is rajogunam also in him. Suppose sattugunam is strong in him and rajogunam is lesser in him. The rajogunam will adjust with the sattugunam and they will work together. So these gunams have got this nature also. Suppose the three modes of nature and they are present inside us. If one gunam is dominating, stronger than the other two will cooperate with the stronger one to do what it wants to do. Cooperate in the sense that its presence will be felt, right? In other words, they won't fight each other within us. This person's particular gunam, which is dominant in him, will create the result. So, sannivaham, that is why the sannivadam is important. How gunam mixes together. Sannivadastvam ahamidi, mamedi uddhava yamadi, vyavaharam sannivado, mano matrendriya subhi. So, it is because of that only that mind, and the senses and the sense objects, and this vyavaharam, otherwise vyavaharam cannot happen. If this vyavaharam, what we do in this world, cannot happen if within us the modes of nature are fighting. So modes of nature has an understanding. In order for the vyavaharam to happen, they have to cooperate together. And that's how it will happen. But the one that is dominating inside, accordingly the vyavaharam will happen. But the others will go along with it. These are little bit subtle things, but if you think about it, gradually you will understand what Krishna is saying there. It is a more subtle thing spoken in this chapter also, because modes of nature, how it works, is initially Krishna says about individually each gunam, what they are like, three modes of nature, what they do. Individually he has spoken in that verses 2, 3, and 4. From that you can observe in people what their modes of nature is in a person, how they react to situations, and how they're conducting their life. You can observe all that. From that itself you can understand that this particular modes of nature is strong in him. Satvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam. As Krishna said, Satvagunam, you can observe this easily. It's not difficult. Krishna is saying there, the first thing is Satvagunam means, he said that, few things he said, control of mind and senses, first thing, unaffected by that. Then similarly, happiness and distress comes in life, able to accept it in the same way, not disturbed over it. Happiness will come, distress will also come, in that way, able to take it. At the same time, able to think that there is something beyond the life in this world, beyond what's going on in this life, there's something more to it. What this life is all about, this thought will be always in him. In other words, Sattvagunam creates in a person, don't want to get involved in the world too much. It's the nature of Sattvagunam. Always, even though Prarabdha may drag him into it, but if the person's willpower inside is such that he doesn't want to get involved, gradually he will come out of it. It won't trap him like this. Because Krishna knows, Antaryami knows, this person has no interest in the world. And Antaryami will adjust the prarabdham in such a way that gradually you will be pulled out of this world. Whereas if you also have a lot of enthusiasm to do so many things in this world, Antaryami says your vasana is very rajasic nature. So accordingly he will support that rajogunam from inside. So Antaryami looks at our modes of nature also, how it's working within us. And accordingly the support comes from Antaryami, based on the prarabdham. Everything is not prarabdham. There is a large extent this gunam also has an effect on the prarabdham. Prarabdham is there, there is no doubt about that. But gunam also has a contribution towards that. And it is difficult to know them in our present state. Only those Mahatmas who have developed such a high degree of Sattvagunam, they will know these things better. What is prompting us to do a particular thing, to act in a particular way. All these things are controlled by the vasanas inside, svabhavam, and then prarabdham, and the modes of nature. They all have an influence on that. Yeah. So Krishna said there, in that, the Sattvagunam nature is like that, he said. That he has control over mind and senses, one. Number two, happiness and distress, he will be able to deal with it with a balanced mind, equally disposed in both situations, right? And the third thing, Krishna says, he will be always very thoughtful about life. Thinking about life, what this life is all about, where is it going, what's the idea behind it? And a certain degree of detachment inside, in the world, with the world. That is Sattvagunam. A certain degree of detachment from the world. Not all the way go inside and completely get involved and sort it out everything. That is not sattvic nature. Sattvicam means a little detachment from the worldly activities. So having said all, then he said also a few other things. He said that satisfied with what life is given to him, and then able to handle the wealth properly, not selfish all the time, concerned about others in this world as well, right? And similarly, knows very well that everything in this world is temporary, and the happiness what I get from the sense objects is also temporary, and therefore a certain degree of vairagyam inside. Firm faith in the Shastram, that is the quality of Sattvagunam. Firm faith in the Shastram, right? Then, very particular about Dharma, following the path of Dharma, and similarly, willing to give charity according to his capacity, and similarly, more than anything else, he knows Atma is inside, Antaryami is inside, conscious of that, always. And what I do in life has its detrimental effect later on. One has to be conscious of that. So all these thought waves, thoughts comes in a person when there is Sattvagunam in a person. Then Rajogunam, he said what it is, that sense gratification is primarily important for the Rajasic nature, right? And all the time their mind is working on that. Where can I enjoy? How can I enjoy life? This thought, right? And all his efforts also will be for that. And similarly, because you have to enjoy, you need money. And so therefore, he knows that well, the Paisalinda Jogunam. So he wants to increase his wealth all the time for that. And for that purpose, he will go to any extent, fight in this world to make money. And similarly, he will like to mix up with people who are in Rajoguna. They glorify each other, the Rajasic people. One will say, you are doing very well, and the other one will say, you are also doing well. And they both feel happy. These are all symptoms of a Rajasic nature, right? And then if you observe their activities, they have a lot of faith in their strength, of their ability. They believe that they are very capable people in this world. And similarly, they want to display to the world how strong they are. And this kind of nature is coming from Rajogunam. Comes from Rajogunam. And this you can see very distinctly, very clearly in people. These things. As much you can see Sattvagunam, because Sattvagunam is very rare in this world. That's why you don't see much. Mostly what you see is this Rajogunam. In the modern world, that group of people who had Sattvagunam, they have all gone away. It is dominated at the moment by Rajogunam. That means that is why in majority of the people, you will find this Rajasic nature. Majority. Majority means over 95% is like that. Sattvagunam, rarely you will find. If you find in someone, it's a shock today to see this Sattvagunam. Majority of the people in the world is in this Rajasic nature or in the Tamasic nature. But majority is in the Rajasic nature. Even Tamasic nature is Tamogunam. Tamasic nature is a minority. But Rajasic nature, at the moment Rajogunam is dominating. So you see that tendency in the whole society from top to bottom. You will find this nature, what Krishna spoke about here. And that is why all the industries are developing. Economic development is the... There is nothing else discussed in the society except economic development and sense gratification. What does that mean? It means the Rajogunam is dominating the society. Is it not? There is not a trace of Sattvagunam anywhere. No discussion about Shastram. No discussion of acceptance of Shastram. If you say to them about this Sattvagunam, they think, are you coming from another world? Which world are you living in? They will say to you. In which world are you living in? Because they are only used to this Rajasic world. They don't know what Satvik world means, right? So then the Tamogunam Krishna mentioned there that the basically they are the people who are giving trouble to everybody. The ones in Tamogunam go to war, fighting, killing. All this is their nature at any cost, because they are so depressed in their own life. Their own life is they are depressed. And that depression, what they have got, they are sharing with everybody else in this world. And that's Tamogunam. So that is why generally it is said, when you are in Tamogunam, the best thing is, go into one room, lock up from inside, and stay inside. Don't mix with other people, when there is Tamogunam. Yeah. So, tamasic nature, that, because if you come out, you are only a trouble to the world, rest of the world. You'll give trouble to everybody else. And if it is either my way or highway, that kind of mentality comes. And if others don't agree with you, you will start a war straight away. If you don't agree with me, I start a war straight away with you. And then I look for people who are like me in this world and make alliances with them. And this is what these people are doing, this tamasic nature. So Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam, Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, Gunatraya Vibhagam, if you study, when we come to that in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see all this. And the same thing Krishna is discussing here also in Bhagavatam. The Gunanam, Asamishranam, he says, that Gunam will do its job. You won't be able to free yourself from that very easily. So, Tamogunam means that you will give trouble to others. That's the very nature of Tamogunam, either individually or collectively. So these great personalities who are driving, controlling this world, they are all driven by this Tamogunam inside, and that is why they are not able to come out of it inside. Then after saying that, Krishna said, Sannibhadam. Sannibhadam means, how do they work together, these three modes of nature? Because every one of us got three modes of nature in us. You can observe yourself and see the modes of nature changing in you from morning to evening. It can change within ourselves, and similarly within others also. It changes every time. And so when they work together, Krishna is saying, when these three modes of nature are working together, then it's called a Sannibhadam. And at that time, one will observe in others, you can see in which modes of nature is dominating them, and that you can observe that from their activities, vyavaram, bahya vyavaram, right? So, at that moment, what you will see there, a particular modes of nature is intensely present in them, right? And the other modes of nature will be a little bit down, but you will still notice one thing, that they are, the modes of nature are working together, all three of them. If Sattvagunam dominates in a person, Rajagunam and Tamogunam goes along with it. Rajagunam is still there in him. Tamogunam is also there, but it will go along with Sattvagunam. But when Rajagunam dominates, Sattvagunam has to do the same thing. In other words, these three modes of nature, they have a tendency like this, then it will allow any one, two of them will allow the third one to do what it wants at different times. And so it's not that they will protest and pull out from that. No, they'll work collectively together. They'll operate, right? Then he's saying here that is Sannibhadam. Sannibhadam is important. Because Sannibhadam is normal state in everybody. You will see this you can see sometimes. Sometimes some people who are very wicked and evil, sometimes they'll go and do some good thing in life. Have you noticed that? Sometimes it happens. Some very bad people goes and does something very good. And similarly, some very good people goes and does something very abominable. And you start thinking, oh, I never thought he will do such a thing. Why does that happen? These modes of nature doing it. One normally who is in Sattvagunam may sometimes go and do something very despicable. And similarly, one who is very wicked and who is known as a as a criminal-like nature, and he goes and does something very good suddenly. All these things are due to the effect of the modes of nature in the person, right? Then he says that seventh verse, dharme charteja kamecha yadasau parinishtidaha gunanam sannigarshoyam shraddharadi dhanavaha. Normally people likes to have dharmam artham kamam moksham, religious principles, religious life, some, at the same time some economic development and some amount of sense gratification. And in these three things, religious principles, economic development, sense gratification, when a person is interested in all these three things, but not in the fourth, liberation, is not interested, but is busy with the first three things, that is a clear indication that these three modes of nature is mixed up in him, very much mixed up. It's present in him, right? At that stage, in that stage, what happens to that person? Krishna is saying here that he will have faith in the words of the Shastram, and at the same time, he will have desire for acquiring wealth, and he will also be thinking that according to his capacity, he will think about acquiring wealth in life, right? He won't think anything more than that. This also you can see in this world. Sometimes in people that there are four things, is it not? Dharmartha, kama, moksham. Moksham is not in the agenda. Only dharmam artham kamam. If you see that in people, a lot of people, they will follow dharmam to some extent, to much extent, large extent, but they want artham kamam. So they are in that level, dharmam artham kamam. So their life, if you look at it, you will see there that it is based on these three things. They follow dharmam to an large extent, but artham and kamam is important for them. Moksham is at the back, not the priority. Moksham is not priority. They may show some interest to hear about it, but beyond than that, the faith has not developed inside about a thing called moksham, because there is lack of sattvagunam in them. That's the reason behind it. So Krishna is trying to make us understand that you are doing things in this world under the influence of these three modes, and they will dictate you from inside what you are doing. And accordingly only you can do things. You can't do independently anything. You see, I am saying, oh, I thought about this. What did you think about it? What you have thought about it, your modes of nature has told you what you should do. And accordingly you have done it. That's all it is, yeah. So you have to think in this way that dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, only in those three things, if one is focused, then you can more or less take it. Krishna is saying that the trigunam is present in him, but the way they are acting is that it is a rajogunam with little bit support of sattvagunam. That sattvagunam element is the dharmam. Rajogunam element is arthakamam. You understand? Rajogunam comes in us in the form of arthakamam. Arthakamam is rajogunam's byproduct. Sattvagunam is putting a brake on that in the form of dharmam. So you can see how majority in this world is in that category, is it not? That they want to acquire wealth in this world, a comfortable life in this world. That's everyone's desire in this world. Moksham, well, if it comes, it comes. We'll take it. If it's on offer. If it's not on offer, it doesn't matter. That's not the priority at the moment. Moksham. Right? So that is not sattvagunam. You can see that. How rajas has taken over the on sattvam. Sattvagunam has been affected by rajogunam. Sattvagunam is not coming out. They are very subtle. All these things are very subtle inside, what's happening in us. So that's why if you read these verses, And if you keep thinking about it, you will start seeing within yourself what's going on, within ourselves, how it is working. You will observe it yourself. You don't have to go to other examples. Within yourself you can see the modes of nature working, what thoughts they are bringing inside us. Yeah. So Krishna is generally saying, he can only say general things, isn't it? Individually he cannot say to anybody. He is saying generally it is like this. Dharmam artham kamam, if one is interested, it means that rajogunam is strong, therefore arthakamam is his priority, but there is sattagunam in him to some extent, so that is supporting the dharma. So dharmam artham kamam becomes his goal. And there is not sufficient sattagunam in him, therefore he is not bothered about moksha either. That's how it is. We don't look at all these things, do we? We think we are initiated, you're alright, you're on your way back. But these gunams won't allow you to escape like that freely from here. So, these three modes, he says, when they come together, how they will create different people, it will put them in different situations, right? Look at the next words. Pravrtti lakshane nishta, puman yarhi grihashrame, Sodharme Chanatushteda Gunanam Samitarhisa Pravarti Lakshane Nishta Puman Yarhi Grihashrame Sodharme Chanatushteda Gunanam Samitarhisa. A man feels very worried, concerned about fruitive activities. If you tell the men that fruitive activities are not good, he says, well, I'm not going to listen to that now, because I worked so hard. I spent so many years in the university studying. For what? To make some money out of it. Right? So, kamya karma. So that means, inside him, desire was building up. Right from the day he was going to college and university and all, he was studying there. He was thinking, one day I'll be making money from all this time I have invested in the college and university, right? You are not acquiring Brahma Vidya in the college, are you? All you are acquiring is some skills from there, different kinds of skills, engineering, medicine, whatever it may be. What's the purpose of that? To make money. After that, so that you will land in a good job or some position where you can make a lot of money, right? So you are, that means inside you, the foundation is already built, kamya karma, fruitive activity, right? And your shraddha will be in that kamya karma. And you cannot change that, right? And in order to do that properly, he will gradually develop this feeling that he wants to have a steady family life. It comes naturally, automatically. Once you have finished your education, material education, and then you have landed in a job which is giving a steady income, the mind will start saying, now what I need is some stability in life. And for that, a householder life. Right? And that householder life, he wants to be steady. And in order to keep it steady, you need money. And therefore, he will develop certain rules in his own life based on the society to follow dharma. So what the society tells dharmam, you will start observing that. Society's dharmam becomes your dharmam then. This is all happening to everybody. Everyone's life is like this. That because it's not governed by shastram, you see. It's governed by education in the university and colleges. And the society what has given to us. So society has given us this strong understanding that desire for kamya karma, fruitive activities is good. Making money is good. If you have money, you can have a steady family life. You can have a house. You can have a wife, children, holidays. Everything based on that level of happiness. Based on the family life, right? And you get some stability in that way. Grihasthashramam, right? And in order to keep all that, some dharmam is required. And that dharmam, rules and regulations, you will take it from the society where you are living. What that society is following, you will follow that. Right? And Krishna is saying here, day by day, your buddhi will take that so seriously that you will be grounded in that. That's how whole life goes, right? And Krishna says then that gunanam samajrahisa. And this is all because of these three gunams cooperating very well inside us. Mutually cooperating. They cooperate very well together inside us. So therefore you can do that. Pravrtti lakshane nishta puman yarkhi grihashrame swadharme chanu tishteta gunanam samajrahisa. He said, then, so having said that, Krishna is saying that purusham sattva samyuktam anumiyacham adibi kamadibi rajo yuktam krodhade tamasayutam. These three modes of nature are very subtle, how they work and control us at different times, right? And Krishna says, purusham sattva samyuktam anumiyacham adibi. Generally, you can say that, he says, if a person has some control of mind and senses, what that means is, you can see the cause behind that is sattvagunam. If a person has control of mind and senses, more or less you can say that there is some sattvagunam in him, working in that way, right? And suppose a person has got a lot of desires, and trying to fulfill all kinds of desires, more or less you can say that Rajogunam is controlling him. And someone whom you see is very violent and wants to give trouble to others at any cost and have his own way in this world and to any extent going to give disturb others' life, such people you can say that Tamogunam is dominating him. There's nothing you can do about it. These three modes of nature is so strong inside, and that person is not aware of any of these things. He is thinking, he is my good friend and he is my enemy and all that. He is making up all, nobody is anybody's friend, nobody is anybody's enemy either. This is all your mind has created, right? And because there is lack of knowledge of the Shastram, how Rishis are saying this to us, that you are coming to this world for unknown reasons. You don't even know why we have come here. And we all have come at different times. And we all leave at different times as well. In between there's all these interactions between the jivas, right? So there these modes of nature is present in everybody and accordingly he will react to situations, right? So, purusham sattva samyuktam animiya chamadivi. If you know what is happening in a person, you can see the reason behind it. Karyam can be known from Karanam. Because Karanam is present in the Karyam. That is a famous Vedanta. Karanam is always present in the Karyam. If a person is acting in a pious way, it means there is Sattvagunam in him. Sattvagunam is the reason behind it. And that Sattvagunam is coming into his actions. Sattvagunam is the Karanam. Pravrti, action is the Karyam. Karanam comes to Karyam. All the time, it is like that. Similarly, if Rajogunam is in a person, and he is doing some Rajasic thing, trying to acquire wealth, unlimitedly, enjoy life, if you see all that things in a person, you can take it, the Rajogunam is guiding him in his life. Right? Similarly, if a person is violent, and trying to destroy others, and that nature of cruel to others, and becoming a problem to everybody, you can more or less take it that the tamogunam in the person is driving him to do that. How powerful they are. Sattvam rajasa tamasa. And Krishna is saying here, kamadibi rajo yuktam krodhadei tamasayudam. You can assume that, Krishna says, that it is that gunam in him doing this. You can take it for granted, Krishna says. You don't have to ask anyone. What is pushing him to do that? Yeah. So these modes of nature has got that swabhavam like this, that it will compel us to act in a particular way. Then yada bhajadimam bhaktya nirapeksham sukarmabhi तम सत्व प्रगति विद्या पुरुषम स्त्रीयमेव वा irrespective of all these things, if someone gets attached to spiritual life and takes spiritual life very seriously, whether it's man or woman, Krishna says it doesn't matter. Purusham Sriyam Evava, either way it is, doesn't matter. You can take it that Satugunam is building up in that person. Suddenly sometimes you see that in people, don't you? Suddenly somebody becomes serious in spiritual life. You never thought that person will become interested in spiritual life. But something has happened in his life that he started thinking, he has moved away from his normal lifestyle, suddenly took interest in spiritual life, and he's getting attracted to it more and more. When that happens, Krishna is saying, you can take it for granted that the sattvagunam in that person is increasing. For some reason, it is coming up in him. Sattvagunam can come in different ways in a person. So, the way to observe that is, if you see in a person, he's getting more attracted to spiritual life, knowledge of the self, self-realization and things like that, salsangam or listening to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, it's all making some sense to him in life. If that is happening, you can take it that sattvagunam is pushing him to do that. That's what he's saying here. Right? Purusham sattvas yeah. And yada bhajadi mam bhaktya nirabheksham so karma bhi tam sattva prakritim vidyat purusham striyamevava. He finds Krishna is attractive. Krishna's words are becoming attractive to him. Krishna's knowledge is becoming attractive. In every way he is getting attracted to Krishna. Krishna means not the form only, holy name, pastimes, instructions, and everything related to Krishna becomes attractive to him. How did that happen? We don't know. It has happened to him. And he has come into that direction. And at that time, he wants to serve Krishna. He wants to please Krishna. And he has understood spiritual life properly. He doesn't want anything particularly from Krishna. Nirabheksham. No desires also. But some attraction for Krishna has happened. When that happens, his karma also changes. So karma bhi. Tam sattva prakritim vidyad, Krishna says, that is due to the sattva gunam coming up in him. So when these gunam, when it grows inside us, how to measure that? How to notice it? How to detect that? This is the only way you can detect these things, right? Then Krishna is saying here that he will do his karma, normal karma, what he has to do, livelihood in this world, but at the same time, his connection with the karma is not purely like a karmi does. He is not doing karma fully with fruitive activities, mindset, more like a karma yogi, he will do the karma. That means with a detached mind, he will do his karma. And if the results come, he is not particularly bothered about it. He will be willing to accept it without questioning the results. Like when we are very attached to the results, we'll be very particular about the results. Right? So here he is doing his karma because he has started understanding karma yoga little bit more. He is changing his own life in that way. That is an indication of the sattvagunam in him. And actually, he is a devotee because karma yogam is a stepping stone to bhakti yogam. Is it not? Karma yogam is a stepping stone to bhakti or jnanam, whichever way it is. So, because they are devotee, he is becoming a devotee basically inside. There's a change happening in him. But the change is happening based on the shastra, not willfully doing something. It will happen based on the shastra, provided it comes from sattvagunam. That means without motivation. It is not motivated, I mean. It's not motivated, right? It is coming on his own from inside, a desire to understand the Krishna. He has respect for Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, what Krishna is talking about. And he knows that he has to change himself. He knows Shastram is correct, but he knows he has to change. He has to grasp the Shastram. So, yada vajadimam bhaktya niravaksham so karmabhi tam sattva pragadim vidyal purusham striyam evava. Then, in the similar way, what happened to Rajogunam? That's the next verse, right? Yada ashisha ashasya mam bhajeda so karmabhi tam rajapragadim vidyal himsa ashasya tamasam. When he is working in Rajogunam, if you observe him, you will see something interesting. What is that? This rajasic person, you can't criticize them very much because the gunam is working in them. And you know how that comes out? Even in spiritual people, I'm saying, people who are in the spiritual life, they want recognition in the world. It's very important for them. Followers, recognition. Only for that, their field of activity will be such that if they are not recognized, they feel very lost, very depressed about it. Yeah? So that is coming from Rajogunam. There may be many big spiritual leaders in this world, but you will also notice that they are always in the limelight through Facebook. They have to keep it like that because it's essential for them. That's a Rajogunam inside them. They are not able to come out of it, you see. And that Rajogunam will tell them that I should be known everywhere. And you can see that coming out in their activities when they go from one country to another, when the disciples come, receive them with the Rolls Royce car, take them in the Rolls Royce and driving them and they looking at them. You can see that Rajogunam in that he is being accepted by so many people as followers. And they are also all offering obeisances to him. This is all a show. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. But because people don't understand all these things, they fall for it. They get trapped into this. This is all external show. It has nothing to do with the reality. This Rajogunam comes in people in this way. They want to be recognized everywhere where they go. And there are people in this world who are also willing to go along with it. Right? And they want to be welcomed with a garland, and everybody should offer obeisances to them. It has nothing to do with the spiritual life. This is all misunderstanding. So many things misunderstanding. What happens is, when somebody starts this, it becomes a norm later. Everybody else start doing the same thing. You don't see in the traditional sampradayams, parambara system, in the mathams, you don't see this show, what we do in this world. You don't see it there. Because they are not like this. They understand this is all a show. So they don't go along with it, right? So here, it says, you can read the words, tam rajapragrim. Rajogunam is doing this to them. Vidya himsa ashasya tamasam. Yada ashisham ashasya. Right? Because this person has desires inside, wants recognition in this world, and wants the world to know that I am a spiritual leader in this world. Everybody should accept that, my spiritual realization. And then they will write books on that basis. Even there is no substance in that, they'll keep writing. There is enough Shastram Rishis have given. It doesn't need another book from me or you for that. The Shastram, if you study properly, you will understand everything. But instead of doing that, they give their own interpretation of how their life, how they did everything so wonderful, and how they are the model for the world, role model for the world, in this way, promoting themselves all the time, self-promotion. This is all coming from Rajogunam. Self-promotion, self-broadcasting to others, how important they are spiritually for others. As far as self-realization is concerned, there is nothing there. Except this dress and all the show, what's going on in the world, right? So, Krishna is saying this, that because there is desires inside for sense gratification, and due to that, he does not know that himself. He's thinking it's okay to do all these things. So, if you look at his activities from outside, then you can see that the Rajogunam is building up in that person. Rajogunam is building up in that person. And therefore, he is forced to do all these things. He wants followers, he wants propaganda, he wants all kinds of recognition in the world. In the material world, people will say this bluntly. They want it, right? Like he says, I want Nobel Prize, he said. If I don't get a Nobel Prize, it's not worth living in this world. He has come to that conclusion seriously. Now, in spiritual life, you don't say that, but you will do things like this. That's the difference. And to convince the people that I am the right person for you, to save you from this world. So, in this way, promoting oneself like this, this is all rajoguna. It has nothing to do with sattugunam. People in sattugunam don't act like this. It's completely pushed by the rajogunam, right? And then Krishna is saying, there are then the people who wants to give trouble to others all the time. Under any circumstances, they are concerned about their own happiness in this world. And with that intention, if somebody is operating in this world, Krishna is saying that tamogunam in that person is building up. When selfishness becomes so strong, that means tamogunam is building up inside. So Krishna is trying to give us some indication of how sattogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam works in a person. And if you read all this, we will feel ashamed ourselves that how strong all these things are within us, controlling us all the time. And if we can observe in others also, you will see, whereas modern world is completely driven by propaganda, isn't it? How good you are at mobilizing your media power, how strong you are at that. And you can become anyone in this world through the media thing. This whole thing, media is centered around this rajogunam. And ordinary people doesn't know, for them three modes of nature doesn't exist. All that they know is this world. And everybody else is running after one person, so I also go along with that. This is how it becomes. That is rajogunam. So, because there is no proper understanding of things. Ignorance, total ignorance, right? And that is how they are acting. Then after saying that, Krishna says, this gunam, these three gunam, is present in everybody and it is mixing all the time, right? And they are all surrendered to the gunam, he says. They are all under the control of the gunam, every jiva, right? And therefore, this difference, Ishvara, we have to surrender to Ishvara, and jiva has to surrender. And that bhavam won't come to them because of these three modes. Because nothing is understood based on Shastram. Who is Ishvara, they don't know. Who is Jiva also, they don't know. So, ahankaram, to surrender to Ishvara is difficult in this situation because of these three modes of nature. The three modes of nature will come in the middle and will change your way of thinking, right? Won't allow you to think in the right direction. So, he says that satsum rajastama iti guna jivasya naiva me chittajayaistu bhudhanam sajyamano nibhadyade. He is saying that the sattvam rajasa tamasya, these three gunam, has come from chittam, chittaja. Says it's coming from the chittam, right? Because in the middle of all the other living entities, the jivas also gets bound in that. Yeah, modes of nature is everywhere. Everything in the creation is modes of nature. Everything, right? You know, in the seventh canto, Prahlada and Narada Maharshi's discussion with Yudhishthira. Narada Maharshi told Yudhishthira. So many things Narada Maharshi has said to Yudhishthira. How to see these modes of nature in different ways, right? But we will read them, but we won't take it seriously. Why is it like that? Sri Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, a sannyasi should be like this. And you look at the sannyasis, what they are at now. What I'm not questioning sannyasa ashram. Sannyasa ashram is a very high ashramam. But if you take that dress and danda in the hand, and if you act, no, don't act on the way what Narada Maharshi has spoken in the Bhagavatam, then you are actually making a mockery of that ashram. And that is why it is said in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam Sanyas Lakshanam, isn't it? Realization is more important than what you do in this world, how you present yourself in this world. What is your realization at the end? And that will be observed by others, those who have knowledge of it. They will see that this is not compatible with sannyasam, ashramam, when we do certain things like that. And it is a difficult thing, but the subtle side of sannyasa ashramam goes away from them. So here Krishna is saying this, that the modes of nature is present in everybody to different degrees, and it is constantly changing in a person, right? And we are all surrendered to these modes of nature, all of us. We have no freedom from that. If you have come out of modes of nature, means you are liberated then. There is nothing there then, right? So, because of that, we are not able to see the difference between Jiva and Ishvara. Ishvara is with Vidya and we are with Avidya. That we are not able to accept it. All Jivas think that they know everything, and that's how we conduct our vyavaharam in this world, isn't it? Everybody thinks that I've gone to university, so I should be qualified, I should have the knowledge. And that misunderstanding, instead of thinking that I am in Avidya, my Avidya has not gone, Ishvara has got Vidya, I have to surrender to him, like Bhagavad Gita said, Tamayava Sharanam Gacha. I am not willing to do that. Why is that? Because of these modes of nature. Only when Sattvagunam comes, we will think about surrender. When Sattvagunam doesn't come, we won't even think about surrender. We will say to others, oh, I am willing, I want to surrender to Krishna and all that. But my activities will be totally different. So he's saying here that that doubt comes to us. Why is it like this? And that's what Krishna is explaining here. Right? These three gunam, they come from Prakriti. And they are present in the chittam. Or chittam. And Jiva is ahankaram present in the subtle body. But he is controlled by the chittam. All the vasanas. That's where the gunams are present, in the vasanas, right? Krishna is saying, me, referring to Antaryami, Krishna is saying, I am not controlled by this prakriti, right? And these three modes of nature are not present in me, Antaryami, which is Ishvara. Is Ishvara, is Antaryami. Three modes of nature is not present in me, he is saying here, right? And this Jiva in the subtle body, he is controlled by his vasanas and the gunams. And due to that, his contact with the sense objects, due to that he gets bound. Jiva gets bound in this world, right? Whereas me, Krishna says, Antaryami, in other words, is not bound by anybody. I am totally free, Krishna says, right? And I am eternally liberated. And eternally blissful. I am eternally liberated and eternally blissful, right? Whereas this Jiva inside, which is me in another form, Jiva, is his role, his position is, he has to serve me, Antaryami. Krishna is saying this. That is his position, is to serve me, right? And I am the one to be served, and he is, because Krishna is not touched by the modes of nature. We are, Jiva is under the modes of nature. If you want to come out of the three modes of nature, you need the help of somebody who is not in the modes of nature. And that is Ishvara. So, Jiva has only one option, to take shelter of Ishvara. Only then he can become free from the three modes of nature. He has no other choice. There is no other way he can get out from the modes of nature. He has to take the help of someone who is not in the modes of nature, and that's Ishvara. He is right outside the subtle body as the Antaryami inside. So that's the point Krishna is making here. He says, I am not bound, I am always blissful, that's my nature. and I'm not controlled by the modes of nature. Jiva, on the other hand, always controlled by the modes of nature, and he is always dissatisfied, desires is bothering him, right? So, if Jiva becomes successful in becoming free from these three modes of nature, then he is no more Jiva anymore after that. He is not a Jiva anymore, right? And at that time, he is come to this stage that I am not to be seen as Ishvara anymore. So this Jiva Ishvara Bhavam is only when you are under the three modes of nature. Just like Antaryami, we say, Krishna is present everywhere. But why do we say Antaryami? Because in relationship with the individual, Krishna's presence has to be recognized somewhere inside. And that's Antaryami. Right. So, when he has become free from the three modes of nature, then he is as good as me, Krishna says. Chaitanyam, Brahmam, he is, right? Anandam, Satya Chitta Anandam, he becomes the same thing, right? So, this happens through bhakti. Bhakti for the surrender or bhakti for the jiva to the Ishvara, right? He becomes the Atma. And then after that, there is no need for this feeling. Sevyam, Sevaka Bhavam is not required, right? And so bhakti begins with the dvaidam. Sevya, Sevaka Bhavam means dvaidam. So bhakti begins with the dvaidam, but when it finishes, it ends up in advaidam. And that is why Hanuman said that famous words in the Ramayana, isn't it? Deha buddhyastu dasoham, he said. Jiva buddhya to damshagam. Atma buddhya tumevaham. Iti me nishchidamadi. Famous words in the Ramayana. Right? So, ultimately, jnanam, bhakti and all leads to the same thing. So you see, it's no point in fighting about advaitam, dvaitam. It is different states it is. Right? In the beginning, everybody is dvaiti in this world. If you ask the question, everyone is in the dvaitam level. Advaitam you can't bring into vyavaharam. It's not possible. When we are doing vyavaharam in this world, when we are identifying with the body, our relationship with Krishna is Sevya Sevaka Bhava, master and the servant. And that means dvaitam. Dvaitam is strong at that time, right? Whereas when we have reached that state, when you have become free from the three modes of nature, and when you have completely become qualitatively the same as Krishna's quality is like that, Antaryami's quality, Satchidanandam, then there is no difference at all. And that's the Advaitam stage. So that is how it is. We will stop there today. We will continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.